I know many friends, whenever there is a date in a court, they have to go there. They make it a point to go in the early hours of the morning to the advocate. I tell them, you have given them wakalatnama, you have given them the power of attorney. Now why don't you relax? They say, no, unless I go there, he will not work hard enough for me. So he goes there, makes it a point. Well, then I tell him, do you do the same thing when you do the chart, the varna to a pandit? Or having given that chart, you forget all about it. Now it is the pandit's duty to do the Navaratra because I have given him the charge. Why? Why this difference? For the simple reason that we have been trained from the childhood that the other world can be looked after by other people, but this world must be looked after by our own self. The spirituality cannot be practiced by anyone else, it has to be practiced by one's own self. If I do mantra, it will affect my mind, not your mind. If I eat food, it will affect my stomach, not your stomach. So one has to practice oneself. As far as possible, you must have an isolated place to practice it. Because when you are trying to concentrate on how much God has given you, how much merciful He is on you, how much compassionate He is on you, there should not be distractions which will take your mind to the other side. How unkind God is to you. Most of the time we tend to forget what God has given us. Because all the time we are conscious of what God has not given us. A particular lady used to come to me, now she has passed away unfortunately, an old lady. She always had complaints. God has not given me this, God has not given me that, so on and so forth. She had children, but they were not serving him, or at least serving her, or at least that's what she thought. So continuously she was saying how poor I am. Though the sons were working all right, but they were not giving her the money. So one day I told her, well, you are not having any money, God has been not kind to you at all. I am going to get 2 lakhs of rupees, and that is about 2 decades back. I am going to give you 2 lakhs of rupees. She said, you are only joking. I said, no. Eye transplantation has come, and there are 2 blind people who have enough money with them, and they are ready to give 1 lakh each to you for each of your eyes. She says, Swamiji, you want to take away my eyes? I will become blind. I said, all right, let us settle for 1 lakh. Give just 1 eye, you won't become blind. She says, how can it be? I said, that means 2 lakhs worth of property you are having. How much God has endowed us with, how much He has been kind to us, we often forget. All the time we are thinking of what we do not have. So we must be sitting in an isolated place. If possible, because most of you are staying in Delhi, so it is not much meaningful to say about it. A place, as the Upanishad says, natu chakshu pidane. A place where all your senses are in a pleasurable condition, not something which hurts your eyes, and so on. It may be on a mountain top, it ship may be on the bank of a river, certainly not the Delhi Yamuna. It is not going to be much of a pleasure. Some place where you are able to feel the greatness of the Lord. A person practicing these things must have control over his food. Food must be pure. Earned money should not be used for your food. Four decades or five decades back, people were very conscious of it. Even if they got some money which was ill-earned by wrong means, they saw to it that it was not utilized for a religious cause or for their food. Because they were convinced that if I sow the seed of ill-earned money in a religious cause, it will come back to me only to give me pay. It will multiply, no doubt, but it will multiply with ill effects. Similarly, for food, people used to be careful. I know in Calcutta there used to be horse races during the month of December, Christmas and so on. There were certain people who wanted to see the horse race, not because they wanted to gamble. But unfortunately, when you bought the ticket, and if the horse won, you did get the money. When they did get the money, they immediately distributed that money to others before reaching their own house, so that not a pile from it will go into their own house and be utilized for their works. Because gambling is an ill-earned money. But now we have become very proud of our ill-earned money. Particularly for food and such things, we say it is the ill-earned money, only the I have remained. So in all our expenditures of the family, particularly the food and other things, we use not number one but number two. That is what ill-earned money is. The same thing is now slowly going into the portals of religion. For any charity, people think first not of the well-earned money but ill-earned money. Because they are not conscious that what we are sowing in this cause is going to fructify, and if it is ill, the results are going to be ill. So as far as food is concerned, we have to be careful. Formerly, if anybody invited anybody else, a person wanted to know why I have been invited. What is the purpose behind it? Today, in places like Delhi, people are so happy if someone has invited them. To go to a party is a matter of prestige. No one is afraid of going to a party and taking the food from a person who may not be at all of a good character. Because I have been invited, I am very happy to go there. And if by chance I have not been invited, then I am unhappy. Formerly it was just the other way around. Of course, the food which increases dullness, like meat, onion, and things like that, have to be avoided. All food before eating must be offered to the Lord. This is a very good practice. First thing, even those who consume all sorts of food are at least careful when they want to offer it to the Lord. So automatically, much of the wrong food is avoided. Apart from that, no matter how careful you are, certain mistakes take place, but by offering to the Lord, all those faults are taken away from the food. In this way, when you are taking proper kind of food, because your mind, as I pointed out the very first day, is a physical thing. It is a material thing. It is born out of matter. So the food that you take is going to change into your mind. Mind is also physical. Nowadays, you know, everywhere the advertisement against the drugs. Drugs affect the mind. Now drug is a food. It goes into your stomach. So you can see that everything that you consume does affect your mind. It is not that it is not going to affect your mind. When you repeat the particular sacred formula, it should not be done too fast. Many people want to repeat the name, repeat the sacred formula as fast as they can. Because nowadays everybody is accustomed to do everything in a fast way. Formerly we believed that food must be cooked slowly on a slow fire. Then only it becomes tasty. But today we are in an age of fast foods. It should be available within a matter of minutes. So semi-cooked foods, three-quarter cooked foods, 1 minute rice, all these things have come into being. Whether they taste good or not is not the question, it has to be fast. Similarly, the cars have to be fast. Whether the accidents take place is not our concern. The trains have to be fast. So if there is a super fast train, everybody is so happy, we are progressing. Because the speed has increased. No matter, while going from your seat to say the bathroom into the train, you may hit against the sides because the train is very fast. You don't mind getting hit, but the train has to be fast. So in everything we are fast. While repeating the sacred formula also, we try to be as fast as possible. But this is not a thing which is going to be. Here you must be meditatively conscious of what you are repeating. I am not saying that you are conscious only of the grammatical structure of the word, but the idea conveyed, that has to be meditatively thought of. The scriptures go on to say that one should not repeat it very slowly also, because then there is a possibility that you will go off to sleep. If it is very slow, then also it doesn't work. The meditation will not be there. You should not be doing it in a singing way. Many people have that tendency, because that will also take away the somberness of the repetition. While repeating, you must have the consciousness that the chosen deity, the guru, and your inner self are one. They are not different. The one who shows you the path, the destination, and you yourself who have to reach there are not three distinct entities. They are aspects of the same consciousness, of the same being. You are not going to get somewhere where you are not already existing. Otherwise it would not be your nature. A person who practices this must also practice. Must is necessary. A life of dedication and duty. Your spiritual life and your worldly life can never be in separate compartments. It is not that 4 hours of the day you are a worldly person, indulging in all sorts of wrong acts, and then 4 hours of your life you become a spiritual person. You are one mind. It is not that while sitting in a shop you will be aggressive, and then while sitting for meditation you will become forgiving. That doesn't work. You are only one mind. So the life must be lived properly. It must be a life of dedication. That is why Sri Krishna points out, Svakarmana tamabhyarthya siddhim vindati manam. When you dedicate all your actions to please God, it is this which is called by Patanjali as Ishvara Pranidhanadva Samadhi Siddhi. Samadhi Siddhi Ishvara Pranidhanadva. This attachment, the Maitrayani Upanishad goes on to say, Samasaktam Yatha Chittam Jantor Vishaya Gochare Yadyevam Brahmane Syat Tat Konam Cheta Bandhanat. Jantor Vishaya Gochare. The mind of ordinary people is attached to the external objects. Just as the mind is attached to the external objects, yadyevam brahmane syat. If similar attachment all the time exists with the Supreme Being, konam ucheta bandhana, you are definitely going to be liberated from this cycle of birth and death. Spiritual practices fail and become meaningless when there is no inner consciousness of the Lord. Most of the time, religious people practice certain devotional exercises. A person may be a Vaishnava, a Shaiva, a Shakta, a Mohammedan, a Christian, a Jew, a Parsi. And in every religion there are certain formalities. Person goes through them mechanically. He follows certain forms. Each religion has different forms. Utter certain words or read from certain books. All this is gone through mechanically because their minds are anywhere except God. There is no inner contact with God. That feeling is not there, that emotion is not there, that love is not there. In the life of Ramakrishna, he once went to a particular place of prayer. It was a Brahma Samaj prayer hall. They had invited him. And they went through their rituals. Later on, the leader, Kesha Chandra Sen, asked him, how would you like it? He said, well, when you told people to pray, I was looking at them. Somebody was buying vegetables in the market. Somebody was buying shoes in the market. They were all waiting like the monkeys on the branches to jump as soon as you say that now the prayer is over. That is what I saw. That is what happens when we do mechanically. That is why in the temples, when Jesus went there, he found that there were money changers. In India we can even now find it. Just outside the temple there will be some people with small changes so that you can give a rupee note and collect 20 pieces of 5 MP so that you can go and offer it there. And he found that people were more interested in getting money out of it than in the Lord, and so he threw away all of them. That was his first reaction to it. Vain repetition by unbelievers are meaningless. Unless you have a thorough feeling within you, unless you are a believer, mere repetitions will not do. As we go on practicing these things more and more, we are able to dive deeper and deeper. But you must always realize that mind has been restless for a very long time, and it takes time to develop this inner love. Many times an aspirant feels, I have been practicing it for a year, or 2 years, or even 5 years. Am I progressing? I will tell you one simple rule to remember. The very struggle indicates that development is taking place. The very fact that you are struggling towards it shows God's grace is there, otherwise you will not be struggling for it. Your prayer should not be to get something external. God knows what you need. And whatever is needed by you will be supplied by Him out of His compassion and grace. But your prayer must be directed, O Shiva, give me devotion, give me strength, so that I can think of you continuously. It is this rare thing which you have to ask from God, not something you can buy from a shop. That is not to be asked. You have to pray, O Lord, I understand the conflicting situation of the universe. There are bound to be conflicts all along, leading to disturbed conditions of life. I do not want that disturbed conditions will not bother me. But please give me the strength, the courage, the tenacity, so that I may be able to remain wedded to you, bound to your lotus feet. I may be able to see you in all these conflicting situations, under provocative conditions. I am able to remain at your feet. This is what we have to ask. It is by prayer that the strength comes. So to get away from our egocentricity to cosmocentricity, it is these practices which makes us fit to receive God's grace, and it is His grace which gives us the strength, which gives us the direction, so that we are able to get away from egocentricity and enter deocentricity. Once this change takes place, our mind becomes a cultured mind and it develops immense strength. What kind of strength comes in the mind, we will discuss later. Om Bhadram Kamehi
Sustina, Usha, Ushwaveda, Sustina, Sarikso, Arishani,
Because